this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Natalie Miranda, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for asking. That's very, very nice and polite of you. you're in north of London in Barnet at
yes.
the moment, and you're a North London girl, aren't you? I understand. Is that right?
I am indeed, yes.
And I'm a North London girl too. So I was born not too far away from where you are right now. So that's pretty cool. And you are a musician, a brilliant singer, because I have listened to some of your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
And a performer as well, recording artist and what have you, with all sorts of struggles as people in the music industry experience. And we'll talk about those as well in a little bit. Your voice, I think, sounds a little bit, it's very powerful, and your performance on stage is very powerful and very expressive, I think, is one word for it.
You really
let go, don't you, on that stage?
I do.
I was worried that the clip I was watching, I was worried that you might fall off it, actually.
Which stage was that?
I don't know. I can't remember, something on the internet. And your voice is like Cher's voice. In my view, in my ears view, if you see what I mean. Yeah, a very powerful and high-ranging voice.
Thank you. I get that comparison a lot. And I love Cher. She's an absolute legend. I've always loved her. I do see some of the comparison, but for example, there are things that I do that Cher wouldn't do, and vice versa, obviously. Mm. But I take it as a huge compliment. I think she's amazing, and I love her, so thank you.
Well, that's good. And I can tell, because I'm talking to you on Zoom, you haven't had the work done that Cher has.
I have not had the work done, no. But you know what? I love the way that she talks about it so openly. I think it's amazing. It's not something I would ever consider doing. I don't think ever, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, me
too. She looks great, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All
yeah.
good to her.
Okay. How did you start singing and in the music business? I hear a rumour that it was on a holiday.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever performed live in front of anybody, including my parents. Singing and music has always been in my house. My mum is a huge lover of music, playing all sorts of records when I was growing up. And I was always dancing along to these records and holding, you know, toy microphones and toy pianos and things like that, as you do. I knew it was always felt very natural to me. And then I started playing the piano when I was 5 and went all the way doing classical grades on piano. But I always knew that singing was what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a pianist or anything like that. It certainly has helped me in writing music, obviously, and in singing. But I wanted to be a performer, but I was very, very shy. And I would always sing with my music turned up to the max, so no one would hear in the house. And I went to a Saturday drama school in my late teens, and that kind of brought me out of my shell a little bit. But still, I was very, very shy, and I never would sing a solo or anything like that. And we were on holiday when I was 15, and I knew there was a karaoke night that night, and I was like, oh man, I've got to do this. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. This is a turning point for me. And I was so nervous. I convinced my mum to sing a song before I went on. Bless her. She was like, you really want me to sing? I was like, please. So she got up and sang a song.
What did she sing? What song?
She sang Que Sera Sera.
Okay. Excellent.
And I was like, okay, great. So I got up and I had my back to the audience, holding the mic to my chest, and I sang Hopelessly Devoted to You. And I was terrified, but I just sang it all, hit the last note, and then everyone just literally was clapping. Everyone stood up. My parents were just amazed. And I knew that had got me over that initial fear, that initial hurdle. And I knew that when we got back home, I was just going to go straight in and get on with what I wanted to do and start recording demos and things like that.
Because singing is one thing, isn't it? But doing it in front of people on a stage is another thing on top, isn't it? So,
you know. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, even today I get nervous. I mean, I feel like we wouldn't be human if you didn't feel a little bit of nerves, you know? But after I've sung the first song, I'm absolutely fine. So, yeah, it's just kind of getting used to your surroundings and sort of gauging the audience a little bit. And yeah, I still feel it.
I know exactly what you mean. I when I was on a radio station not too far away from you in England, I used to get asked to introduce bands on stage, and sometimes I'd be in front of 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people in the audience.
Wow!
And I remember the first time I did it, you know. But I loved it, and people said, oh, there's all those people. And actually, it didn't make any difference if it was 6 people or 6,000 people. If you have that attitude, I think, you know, you're, and radio is a one-to-one medium, so you're talking to one person no matter how many hundreds of thousands are listening.
Exactly.
That helped me a little bit. Yeah, so, but it was a little bit worrying the first time I did it. Okay, I want to play one of your songs.
Okay.
Because I've had a look at some of your material, and I like Back to Life.
I was so happy you said that. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Did you?
Thank you so much.
Are you psychic? Yeah. Are you psychic?
No. I'd like to be there.
That'd be
no,
cool.
I just had a feeling. I'm so happy you like it. Thank you.
Really? Okay, we'll talk about it in a minute. Let's press this button and see what happens. Here we go. Amazing. I love that. I absolutely love it, Natalie.
Thank you.
That sounds like number one material to me if it was played on. Seriously, you know.
Thank you so much.
And I can accurately predict number one singles. Back in the day, I can remember my head of music playing in a meeting a Take That track.
Yes.
And they were new at the time. And I said, well, yeah, that's going to be number one. And the people in the meeting were going, I don't know whether we should play it. And I don't know whether it will be or not and all the rest of it. And I was right. You know, obviously I was guessing. But you can tell. And that's got everything. When did you record that?
So we recorded that in 2022, but I actually wrote it in 2015 as part of a bunch of songs we were putting together to pitch to publishers and other artists. And this whole sort of bunch of tracks, no one wanted them. And Back to Life was one of them. And we were thinking about what to release after Is This Love back in 22, which was my 80s inspired song. And I thought, well, Back to Life is kind of sort of synthy 80s, so it kind of follows nicely on from the pop 80s song. And also personally in my life, Back to Life really fit what was going on in my life at that time. I just had enough of people telling me what to be, what to sound like, what music to make, and I thought it just really fit how I was feeling in terms of self-empowerment. Like, I just want to do what I want to do. If you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to listen to it, but I'm going to do it because it's authentic to me. And I know there are a handful of people out there that do enjoy what I'm doing. So I'm going to keep doing it. And that's the message, basically. And every time I hear it and every time I perform it, it's very, very special to me because I feel like it was a turning point for me. So, yeah.
Well, and also we haven't got time to play lots of your tracks, but they're all varied, aren't they, in style and so on. That's something that you do very well, lots of different types. Do you think that's an advantage to do different things? Does that mean you're catching different audiences?
I think you're right. Yeah, I can sort of hook into different audiences, but the reason I do it is because I grew up in a time when I didn't have the advantage of having a home studio, or there was no social media. And now I have all this at my disposal. I want to just do everything I wanted to do when I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, just starting out. And that involves messing around with different genres and changing my image a little bit, changing my hair color, which I do a lot. And just experimenting and having fun. And that's the reason I release singles as opposed to albums, because an album to me should be cohesive. And where I am right now in my life, I just want to do everything. Okay. And I don't want to be pinned down to anything. And there are some people that say this is a disadvantage. People won't know what you do. They won't be able to classify you as anything. And my response to that is, I don't want to be classified as anything. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I look up to people, or when I was growing up, I was inspired by people like Madonna, Cher, Michael Jackson, Whitney, all these artists to me, in my opinion, changed everything up with every release, with every album that they did. And that's what I wanted to do, to show people that I love music and I love every aspect of music. Although I must say, I'm not going to start doing any heavy metal anytime soon. That would be a step too far.
So there are, but I used to do a heavy metal show on the radio for somebody years ago, and I really enjoyed it. It was totally different to Love from Tony, which is very laid back. I think I'm just thinking aloud now that your policy there to do lots of different genres and styles of music is I can understand why people say, well, you need to pick your audience and maybe people like it, but that bit sort of gets you stuck, doesn't it? It's a bit like an actor getting typecast into something and they can't do anything else afterwards. And most actors who do get typecast and do the same character for years and years and years are desperate to do something different, but they can't because the checks keep on coming in.
They're stuck.
They're grateful and stuck, you know. Yeah. But I would say that you're talented enough to do all these different things. And
that
makes it more exciting to your audience, really, you know. Whatever is Natalie Miranda going to do next, you know?
And that's exactly what my fans do say to me. That when I tell them I'm working on new music, they're like, oh my God, what is it? Can you give us a hint? You know, and I may, just sort of spill a little bit here and there, but, and also on the same sort of topic, I sing in different languages, which I really enjoy doing. I'm Greek. Mm-hmm. So obviously Greek is natural to me. I speak Spanish, French, fluently, a little bit of Italian and a little bit of Portuguese. And to me, it's fun to just throw something really different into the mix. And the audience will just be like, you speak Spanish? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I studied it, you know, and it's just a new thing to throw at them. And I really enjoy it. So,
amazing. Yeah. Well, we'll have to get you over to France and, entertain my fellow French residents over here.
I'd love to. Well, you're in the south, right?
I am, yeah. Very sort of Occitan-y, guttural, everything's got a ch at the end.
Oh, yes, I like that.
It's a good dialect, yeah. You mentioned a little earlier on about social media now, being a tool and a thing that you have to embrace and use, in fact, as an artist these days. But there's lots of negative things about social media, isn't there, where people can slag you off. They can be nasty. There's these keyboard warriors, as they call them, who just sit there, trying to be a bigger person than actually they are. and very super critical and what have you, rather than just, you know, rather than just moving on, you know, and, and listening to something else. I mean, what difficulties have you found in the social media world?
I've pretty much had it all, to be honest. I didn't really use social media extensively until 2020, when we were just like nothing to do, we were all at home. So I really delved into it, and I've had people comment on the way I look, the way I sound, really horrible, horrible things. I've had Freddie Mercury is my idol, and every time I used to sing a lot of Freddie songs, I had somebody saying that, you know, Freddie will be turning in his grave. Why are you doing this? You know, I mean, just horrible things that I wouldn't mention. And at the time, because it was quite new to me, it really got to me, and I was very upset. I didn't use social media for about a week. But then I realized, you know, these are people that I'm probably never going to meet. And most likely they're people that are just wanting to upset other people. You know, they just want to say something bad. And then I thought, well, actually, even if they don't like it, it doesn't matter. Because there's always going to be people that don't like what you do. I have friends that don't like Freddie Mercury. That's their choice. You know, I love him. They don't. It's absolutely fine. And you just have to realize that, you know, you can't please everybody. It's an impossibility. And as long as you're doing something that you're proud of and that is coming naturally to you, then I feel like that's the way to go with social media. And definitely not to engage these people, just block and delete them. That's how I have found my inner peace. It's a tough world, especially, I mean, I'm obviously an older artist, but I really can't imagine how younger artists are dealing with this kind of thing. It's just in your face 24 hours a day. You know, when I was growing up, it was a magazine, you know, or on TV, that kind of thing. And, you know, so I do worry about the younger generations, but, you know, I found a way to deal with it myself. And obviously I realize I have to use social media to some extent, but I've found a way that works for me. So, yeah.
Good advice. We always like to get some advice on music stories for other people listening, other musicians and so on. So that's good advice about social media. I totally agree with you as well. You know, and there'll always be one who wants to have a go and what have you. And you think, well, what, you know, as you just said, you know, why on earth are you even interacting with me? Why are you watching me? Why are you following me? Why are you listening to my shows? Why are you listening to it? Just go away and listen to the person you want to listen to, you know?
Absolutely.
That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, they don't realize that by commenting, other people, you know, fans will come and comment back, and the video will actually gain traction. And that one of my videos actually went viral because of that. So I was like, come on, keep it coming.
Exactly.
It's fine. You're actually doing me a favor.
It's always good to stick I do it sometimes, to put something slightly controversial in as a post, or something that can be taken in a couple of ways, and you know that the trolls will take it in a certain way, but most people will take it in the way that it was designed. And as you say, then everybody has to jump in, and there's like an argument or whatever, you know, which which is all helps, doesn't it? So yeah, that's a very professional way of looking at it, and I totally agree with you. When you're writing songs, you know, during the COVID period and what have you, in 2020 to 2022, lots of musicians were sitting at home because they had to. They're all writing songs. And lots of people I interview, you know, apart from some of the older ones like Engelbert Humperdinck, I think even he was making music or planning an album or something. What tips can you give to somebody listening to this about writing music? You know, because there were strange times when people had a lot of time on their hands, and that's now gone, and we're sort of back to normal. So what tips would you give to somebody who's thinking about writing a song? Maybe they haven't written their first song yet. But any general tips you can give listeners?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would say I live my life basically by what feels natural and good to me, kind of thing. So if you want to write something that might end up being a love song, you know, write the love song. If you want to write something a bit angry, let those emotions out, and don't be too bogged down in the lyrics at the beginning. Just let it come out. You can always go back and tweak the lyrics, but it's important to just get the ideas out and do a little rough demo. You know, you can do all of this on your phone nowadays, on your laptop.
Yeah.
And just write what you feel or what you're inspired by, maybe something that really angers you or something that makes you feel happy, or if there's a message you want to get across to people. But don't think about it too much. I think nowadays a lot of artists, younger artists, are trying to write clever lyrics and that in that kind of vein. And it's fine if you can do that. But I mean, I know because I've tried in the last couple of years to write kind of like a hip song, but it doesn't come naturally to me. The way I write is a lot more very passionate, and I get angry about things, and that's how I write. And, you know, so I would say just go with what feels natural to you. And then obviously collaborating with other artists is a great thing to do as well, because you learn from them, they learn from you. And hey, you'll have a new song with like maybe two different styles put in. So just keep your mind open. That's what I would have told my younger self. Keep your mind open and always trust your gut.
Brilliant advice. Excellent. And lots of people I talk to when I ask them, they write because of something that's happened to them in their personal lives, you know, some experience, like a breakup or worse.
Yes. Yeah, I do that as well. And that's a great source of material, of course, personal experience. For me, it's usually about, like I said, people that have sort of angered me or rejected me, or things I went through sort of growing up, that kind of thing. I actually don't write many love songs.
What?
But I might have one coming up soon. That's a little teaser for you.
Well, Natalie's teasing me now, dear listener, because she knows I do this love song show, Love from Tony, which goes around the world. And but that's okay. I like to have, you know, like you, I like to have varied types of music to listen to, you know. Like people think, oh, I just listen to love songs at home all the time. I actually don't. I try and find something really raucous and loud and rocky.
Yeah, you sometimes know, you need that.
Yeah, you need the balance, don't you? Here's a question that I ask a lot of people, especially young ladies, but I actually ask men as well. I asked Tony Hadley this from Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
And his answer was no. When you're thinking of a song or you're practicing a song at home or wherever, do you practice in the mirror holding a hairbrush like a microphone?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Actually, I don't really like to look at myself when I'm recording or rehearsing or anything like that. Yeah, I like to just sort of do it and, you know, close my eyes and just like be in the moment.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And there you go. So you and Tony Hadley are the same.
I actually met Tony once, funnily enough. I was doing a function band a few years ago, and we were doing this New Year's Eve gig in the middle of nowhere. I assume it's near where he lives. And he was there, and I was like, oh. So I'm a huge 80s fan.
Yeah.
And he was lovely, and he asked me if he could sing a song with us. I was like, of course. it was great, and he was so lovely. So yeah, that's one of my little 80s dreams fulfilled.
He is a lovely guy and so generous. When we started talking, when I interviewed him for Music Stories, I think we were chatting about just stuff and life, and he was saying, what's it like living in France and all this sort of stuff. It was before I said, well, we better all look at the time, you know, I've only got a quarter of an hour left for the interview. We better get cracking.
Oh.
He's a really nice guy. Lovely, lovely guy. Fantastic. Okay. So touring then, you've got a couple of gigs I've found on your website, which is, by the way, Natalie, that's with an H, Natalie, Miranda.com. That's where we can find out more about you and your gigs. And you've got one on May the 3rd, I believe, at the Carlton
Tavern
Hotel Pub. Yeah.
Yes.
And this is 2024, dear listener, because people will be listening to this in 5-10 years' time. Get excited. And also on July the 23rd at the good old Bedford in London.
Yes. Yes, the Bedford is one of my favourite venues. I've been singing there since about 2007. And I just love it. It's just like going back home for me. It's a beautiful venue and the audience is there to hear music. No one talks. It's just stunning. And the way that they treat their artists there is just amazing. So I love them.
Very professional. They have a lot of people through their doors.
Yeah.
So that's very good. Look forward to that. Maybe I'll fly over, especially to come and see you at the Bedford. I don't know.
Oh, that would be lovely. Let me know.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll have to see. So, Natalie Miranda, thank you so much for talking to me on Music Stories.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been fascinating, very helpful as well to other people listening to this as well, which is what Music Stories is all about. So thanks again. Good luck for the future.
Thank you very much.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.